Amen. Ride the mighty high. Amen. We are once again going to return to the parables. We're talking about our salvation parables right now. We've covered three of them. We talked about the lost son last week. The workers in the vineyard. Remember the 11th hour. The workers came out the 11th hour. And God let them in. And then we talked about the narrow gate. Or the narrow way. And the man came to Jesus while he was teaching and asked him how many would be saved. And he said, will there be few saved? And Jesus never answered him. He just said, you strive to get in. Don't worry about how many folks get in. You worry about whether you get in. Okay? Good answer. Some folks want to get you a number, 144,000 or something. Jesus, don't worry about how many are getting saved. You worry about you getting in. There are going to be folks there you don't expect to be there, and there are going to be folks missing that you expected to be there. Today we're going to look at one of the most profound parables of all. I know y'all probably say you say that about all the parables, but this one here, the wedding feast, the great marriage supper, or the great marriage celebration, is found in Matthew chapter 22. We're going to read 14 verses, and we're going to cover 14 verses in what is really a fascinating parable with so many biblical truths that we can apply to our everyday life as we prepare for that great wedding celebration. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Matthew 22. Page 1374 in your pew Bibles. Page 1374, Matthew 22. We're going to read 14 verses. Really, the parable speaks for itself. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Coming to the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you when it's harsh. We thank you for sending your son and your servants to bid to us to come to the marriage feast. Father God, we thank you for all those who have came and not have taken the word of God lightly. We pray for the word, and we pray that it would go out this morning with power and authority, and that life would be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Dress codes. Dress codes have become a part of everyday life. Some restaurants you go to, they have a suit jacket policy that you must wear a suit jacket to come in. And oftentimes they'll have suit jackets in the closet. And I remember John MacArthur telling the story. He went to a restaurant, he didn't have a suit jacket on, and they gave him a size 56 to wear, and it had food all over it. But he wanted to be in that restaurant. Some restaurants have a tie. You have to wear a tie. I was just recently reading about the casino that they just opened in Cleveland, and they came up with a policy, no sagging. No sagging. No sagging. Can't sag in the casinos. We've heard of black tie affairs, and Cindy and I recently got an invitation to a graduation party, and we were told on the invitation we had to wear white. All white. And we, probably myself, I'm not one who likes to wear white unless it's on Communion Sunday, and especially after that type of party. So we decided not to go, which was our prerogative. Amen. Today's lesson talks about having on the right garment. And I could have titled this sermon many, many things. And I looked at it and I had, the king is furious. How did you get in? He was speechless. Both the bad and the good. There's so many sermons within this lesson. But I titled it, How Did You Get In? How did you get in? And just to bring everything in the context, this was Wednesday of the last week of our Lord and Savior's ministry. But Tuesday before, he had went into the temple and cleansed the temple out, turned over all the trays, told them that they had turned my Father's house into a den of thieves. And that word den means a resort. We've turned it into a party place. They were selling and buying. The church most likely looked like the flea market up the street. They were selling oxen, and it wasn't a problem selling them, but they were robbing the people when they did it. So he cleaned out the temple on Wednesday. He came in, and a large crowd had gathered around. And Jesus took advantage of that situation, and he gave them the most profound and the most meaningful parable of them all. And gathered around him most likely were these self-righteous Jewish or religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, and he's going to give them one more opportunity to come to the Lord. What a gracious God we serve. What a gracious God we serve. A lot of lessons here. Let's look at verse 1 of 22. It says, Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables. And again, we talk about it all week in Vacation Bible School as I was teaching. Before anyone can be saved, the Word of God has to be opened up before them. Okay? It has to be opened up. The Word of God has to be opened up, and it has to be taught in a way where you understand. There's no such thing as a salvation where the Word of God has not been opened up to you. It has to be opened up. And here's what Jesus was doing once again here. He answered and spake unto them again by parables. And again, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, and that's sort of vague, but it isn't. It's a story that we can relate to because it affected us, things that we did. And he says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, and that certain king is God, which made a marriage for his son. And his son is the person of Jesus Christ. And God was marrying his son to the church, which represents the people. And he says, he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Now, he's going to call these people three times. It says that word bidding right there really is a word which really means to save a date. I know they do that. Jake and Jackie just got married, and 6 or 7 months before they got married, they sent us just a card, a little refrigerator magnet, basically telling us to save this date. Okay? I believe we got that card in, it would have probably been maybe September, October of 2011. And it reminded us that we were getting married on May 20th, I believe it was. Okay? And we put that on the refrigerator, and we walked by the refrigerator, we kept that in mind. It says, he sent forth his servants to call them which were bidden. So they, you see two invitations now. You had the one that they got, because the Jewish people were God's chosen people, and they received the call first. So they were already bidden. So he said, go tell them the date. Remember now, you're talking in a historical context. They didn't have cell phones, iPhones, and calendars, and reminders, and different things like that. So they came and said, the date is getting near. Okay. He's going out the second time to these ones that have been called. So they had been bidden to the wedding. Now he's going to remind them, here is the date. Okay? And look what they did. They would not come. Now, you got to understand something. If God throws a party, he's going to pull out all stops. If God's marrying his son, now we watched last year when the king of England, or the prince, whatever his name was, and it was Prince Charles, was it? Williams or something. And, I mean, it was on the news, and everywhere I went, people were talking about it. I mean, it was on the news, and the clothes they wore, the outfits, and everything. It was a gala affair. Now imagine that God is marrying his son. You can't compare with anything. But these folks were basically saying here in verse number 4, in verse 3, and they would not come. Basically what they were saying is, we don't care for you as God. We don't want to come to your son's wedding because we don't believe in him. Remember, these were the religious rulers of that time. And we don't want to have nothing to do with your wedding or your feast or your party or your Jesus. Sound like the world we live in today? You go to them, you say, I'm having a ball. I'm having a ball. I said it in vacation. I said it in Sunday school this morning. You know, salvation for some folks, it's like a funeral. It's like a famine. It's like a long fast. But for those who truly love the Lord, it's a beautiful thing. It's a glorious thing. There's nothing else I'd rather be doing, and I've done a lot. when I was out there swinging them golf clubs, I never thought I could drive by a golf course and not even be moved. But God has blessed me with the joy of salvation. And there is truly joy in salvation. There's a joy that comes with being saved that the world cannot offer you. There's a joy knowing that you have a family of God that love and care for you, that looks forward to meeting you and getting together. The world don't do that right. The world don't know how to love. And I always tell young men I meet now, you don't know how to love your wife until you learn how to love Jesus. It's a whole different thing. It's a whole different thing. Look at verse 4. And again, he sent forth other servants. Now these servants starts off with the Old Testament prophets. They all talk about Jesus Christ. They all talk about the coming of Jesus Christ. And then when the old prophet, all prophets of the Old Testament stopped, John the Baptist came and he witnessed of the coming of the Lord, of this great wedding feast that's going to come one day. And it says, and he sent forth other servants. Now we're talking about John the Baptist, Jesus Christ himself. Now we're talking about Peter and James and John and all the apostles that God sent out. And he sent them out. He said he sent forth other servants saying the same thing. Tell them which are bidden. Tell the chosen people of mine, the Jewish people. And behold, tell them this, I have prepared my dinner. Well, how many of you women in here love to cook and will cook a large dinner? And imagine your invited guest called you up at the last minute and said, we ain't coming. They didn't regard the cost, the effort, the energy, all that you put into this dinner. And the people don't show up. I've seen it happen. I've seen folks, I've gone to weddings and folks just don't show up. Especially if you don't have alcohol. God is saying here, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatling are killed. You done killed all the prophets. Now you about to kill my son. He said, all things are ready, come unto the marriage. And again, we don't want to take it lightly, but these marriage feasts back here, back in this day, you know, would be 7 days long, could be a month long, depending on how much money you had. So when you came to this wedding feast, it was sacrificial. You had to give up something for a while, because if the average person could have a 7-day wedding, and this is why when Jesus came on to the first wedding, and they ran out of wine. More people showed up than they planned. And Jesus had to make some wine for them. But let me tell you something, the king's not going to run out of wine. He's not going to run out of nothing. And the bride is not offered up in these weddings till the last day of the festival. So you may be there 30 days. But it was a celebration. And he says, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatling are killed, and all things are ready. That is interesting sex right there. All things are ready. I mean, you don't have to do nothing. You don't have to do nothing. You don't have to bring nothing. You don't have to do nothing. All you have to do to be saved is accept the invitation. Okay? That's all salvation is. You receiving and accepting the invitation. It's not you gotta work. It's not that you gotta tithe, or you gotta speak in tongues, or you gotta give up this, or you gotta give up that. When you accept the invitation, all things will follow. And a whole lot of preaching. All you gotta do this, you gotta do this, you gotta jump through hoops. Jesus is saying here, all you gotta do is accept the invitation. That's all. Just come. Just come. Look what he says. Verse 5. Now they've gotten 3 invitations. 3 invites. Some of us in here have gotten more than that. They got 3 invitations to come to the Lord. And verse 5 says, they made light of it. You know what that word that means? They showed disregard. It's like your cell phone. You got caller ID, and God's on the line, and you talk to your buddy, and say, "That's your phone? Is that your phone or my phone?" "No, that's my phone. That's just God calling me. He don't want nothing. He don't want nothing." Oh, he's talking about the same thing, heaven and hell. That's all he talked about. That's all Jesus talked about. He ain't spent a whole lot of time talking about being rich and famous and prosperity. He said they made light of it and went their ways. Listen, they went their ways. They just said they did what they wanted to do. They said, "I ain't stunned you, Jesus. I ain't stunned your Jesus or your God. I'm going to do what I want to do," and that's it. He says, one went to his farm. This guy was a businessman. And he didn't have time for the things of God. He didn't have time for the things of God. He didn't have time for prayer or Bible study. He had a business to run. And this is the guy, you know, when I worked at General Motors all them years, he used to work them guys. Them guys used to work 7 days a week. 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day. Some of them had beds at the job. They had shops set up at the job. And they spent all day at work, 7 days a week. 7 days a week. And I remember getting hired in one of the old guys that was doing that. He said, "Let me tell you something, young man. Don't do it." He said, "Don't do it." He said, "All I remember is my child being born and then buying them a car when they graduated from high school. And then they was off to college." He said, I don't know my wife. I don't know my family. I don't know nobody but this place." And this was this type of man. He didn't know the Lord. He don't know nobody. He was a businessman. And he says, another to his merchandise. Now this is the guy that has stuff. He just had a lot of stuff. See, a lot of stuff will keep you from church. Okay? You know, a lot of stuff keep you from church. And again, all we got to do is look around. I mean, there's a lot of things we could be doing right now. And this is the person say, "Sunday is my day. I done worked all week. Sunday is my day. You know, I'm going to the gym. I'm going to the golf course. I'm going fishing. I'm going to put my mulch down," whatever. Luke 14 adds one more thing to the mix. I like Luke because Luke is a little more critical than John. He says something else. He said he has one more thing that Matthew left out, and I thought it was interesting. And Luke 14, I believe 16. Chapter 14, verse 20. He says, another one said, the third person, he said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, please don't be unequally yoked. Okay, you go out here, you save, you find you unsaved man or unsaved woman, your church is going to be hampered. Okay? He said, I can't come because I have a wife that has become my God. And it don't have to be a wife. It could be a husband. It could be a child that become your God. It could be a car. I gotta wash this car. I gotta wax this car. I used to know folks wouldn't come to church because their car was not clean. Okay? So all these excuses mean nothing to a holy God, to an omniscient God who sees the real problem with you not coming. Look at verse 6. In the remnant, these are the Jews. The remnant took his servants. Now we're talking about all the prophets of old. Now if you read Fox's Book of Martyr, you'll find out that Isaiah was cut in half. Jeremiah. All the prophets of old that sent out the clarion call that you need to be saved. They killed them all. They killed them all. When Stephen in Acts was preaching the gospel, in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was preaching the gospel, they didn't want to hear. Listen to what he says. In verse 51, he says, "Ye stiff-necked." We talked about this this morning. "And uncircumcised." "Uncircumcised in your heart and in your ears." It says, "Do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your father did, so do you." He says, "Which of the prophets have your fathers persecuted, or have not your fathers persecuted?" They persecuted every prophet that came in the name of God. "And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One." Every prophet in the Bible talked about the coming of Jesus, "of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers." And if you go on through that, they could not stand that. And they stoned him. They stoned Stephen to death. Another prophet gone off the scene. Stephen preached one sermon, and they took him off the scene. And the remnant, verse 6, took his servants and entreated them spitefully. While Jesus was treated spitefully. James was the first one that was killed. Nero killed James and beheaded him. The Bible says, and he seen that it pleased the people. They grabbed Peter. And they went through all the disciples. I always say all the apostles, save John, the beloved John, was murdered. All of them for preaching the gospel. For preaching the gospel. Oh. Now we get to the interesting part of this text. "But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth." That word "wroth" means he was angry. I mean, it ain't good to get the king angry. He was angry. He was angry. So we covered the kingdom of heaven is like a marriage celebration, but he says all things are ready. They wouldn't come. They all made excuses. And then he sent his servants out to beat them one last time, and then they treated them spitefully and they killed some of them. And then the king was angry. He was angry. And this is what he says. "And he sent his armies out." See, God used the Roman army to destroy Jerusalem 70 years after all that Jesus had done and was crucified. 70 years later, all of Jerusalem was wiped out. And he says he destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. That was not a brick standing in Jerusalem when Rome destroyed them. Now this is where we come in. "And then said he to his servants," the ones that was left, that would be us, pastors, preachers, VBS teachers, Sunday school teachers, godly fathers, godly mothers, all of us who are telling and teaching our children the ways of God, we are God's servants. The definition of minister is servant. And he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready. The wedding is ready. I'm not going to waste all this." I imagine, you know, the fatlings and the oxen, the whole city would be permeated with the smell of flesh. And I can imagine all these lost souls saying, "Man, the king's getting ready to have a party. I wish I could get in there. Oh, it's going to be nice. Oh, if the king is throwing a party, it would be something to get in there." Look at verse 8. He said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy." And it's just not an issue of doing, being good or being bad or living a certain way. He said they just weren't worthy. And what made them not worthy? The fact that they did not come to the wedding party. They rejected the invitation. And by rejecting the invitation, they rejected Christ. And every day you sit in the church, and you can sit in the church for 20, 30 years and reject Christ and never come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Imagine that. And it happens more often than we like to believe, because Jesus said it does. He He said, and many are going to come to me in that day, saying, Lord, Lord, I sat in the same seat at the same church for 30 years. I went through 15 pastors. That seat smelt like me. And I was there early enough. No one sat in that seat for 30 years. You mean tell me I can't get in? And Jesus said, I never knew you. We never had a personal relationship. You never sought me. I never heard you call out for me. He says in verse 9, go therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to them the marriage. This is almost a desperate act. We got food ready to go. He said, all are invited. And the Gentiles back then were called dogs. He said, invite all the Gentile dogs, black and white, and criminals, thugs, Puerto Ricans, Mexicans. It didn't matter. He was opening up the kingdom for all people. And that's what he's saying here. Go ye therefore to the highways. The highways was where the destitute people stayed. Along the highways where blind Bartimaeus would be begging. The beggar stayed on the highways and they was always looking for a handout. He said, go get them. He said, go get all those. That's where we was at. In God's economy. Listen, verse 10. He said, so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they could find. As many as they found. And they was looking and seeking the lame and the crippled. Criminals, like I say, criminals and convicts and thugs. Homosexuals, pedophiles, I mean, whatever. Just come. Come. Come to the house of God. Come to this wedding feast. And it says, as many as they found, both what? Good and bad. Why is that in there? Because it didn't matter. You can't work your way into heaven and you will never be good enough to get in. And you will never be bad enough to be kept out. He says, let them all come. He said, let them all come to the wedding. It's important that we accept this invitation. You know, I was reading about the president. And they say he's at odds with the Kennedys. The President Obama's at odds with the Kennedys. I guess he was vacationing in Martha's Vineyard up in where the Kennedys stay, and they had a big party, big political powwow, and they wanted the president to be there, and he said no, he couldn't make it. And I guess that's something you don't do with the Kennedys. And they're at odds, and it is what it is. We don't want to reject this offer. Watch this. Don't miss this. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both good and bad, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. They did their jobs. The wedding was furnished. It was full. God had his people there, and the celebration was on. The celebration was on. Verse 11, there's a party crasher. There's a party crasher. He snuck in. He didn't want to come in by invitation. This is a picture of judgment, people. We're all going to be judged by an omniscient God that knows everything about us. So it ain't going to matter how good you are down here, because there's none righteous, no, not one. It's important that we have on the robe of righteousness. It's important that we be washed in the blood of the Lamb. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Talks about this. He said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. I believe it was all represented that day in heaven, because this picture, this wedding picture, is a picture of heaven. But in verse number 11 of 1 Corinthians 6, it says, and such were some of you, or us, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, and you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our Lord. And I believe God has the ability to see whether we are washed, justified, and sanctified. It's not our job. It's not our job. Look at Matthew again. It says in verse 11 of 22, when the king came in to see his guests, he saw. Okay? Now remember the story of the parable of the tares and the weeds. He said, let them grow together. And at the end of the harvest, we'll let the reapers decide, divide them. It's not our job to divide or to cast anybody out. It said when the king came in to see his guests, he saw. He saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he probably was decked out. He might have been wearing the same color that everybody else was wearing. He might have had the same stamp on his hand, but he could not escape God's omniscient eye. And it says, and the king came to see his guest. He saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Now, what's that a picture of? See, a king and princes of that day, when you had a party, you provided the attire. If these travelers came from all over, when they came to the king's house, he had a robe for them to wear. And he said, you know, to put this robe on. And that robe represents a robe of righteousness God has to see. See, we talked about the prodigal son last week when the first thing the father done was covering him up. Because the prodigal was a picture of us and our sins. And we know a holy God could not look on sin. So he covered him up and put a ring on his finger and then gave him some new shoes to say he was a child of God. Because slaves didn't wear shoes. So the king came to see his guest. And this had to be a frightening sight for a holy God. Now, I know there's a man that wrote a book saying 30 minutes in heaven. Let me tell you something. This is the only time I've read in the Bible where anybody was in heaven and left. Okay. This is the only time I may be wrong. But somebody tell me they was in heaven and they coming back to tell us about it. Most likely they got put out. Oh, that's what it sounds like. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not the wedding garment. Listen, folks, you need to have on your robe of righteousness. You cannot stand before a holy God in your own righteousness. And this is a picture of someone saying, I'm coming to the Lord on my terms. Okay? And he said unto him, verse 12, Friend, how camest thou in here not having a wedding garment? That's a question. How did you get in here? That's a good question. How did you get in here? Look at, now I'm getting ready to get y'all a book, y'all. I know y'all ain't familiar with it, but it's three books back from Matthew's. Zephaniah. Now, if I was preaching out through the prison, they'd be there already. You got Matthew, Malachi, Zechariah, and Zephaniah. Zephaniah. This is interesting. Zephaniah 1. I'm going to start at 5. Look, it says, and them that worship the hosts of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord, and that swear by Malcolm or Moloch. So these are the ones that they worship in God, and they worship in the false gods. And them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord, nor inquired for Him. There's a whole different bunch here. They don't care about the things of God. They think they're getting into heaven, but they don't care about the things of God. Listen, the two go together. He says in verse 7, hold our peace in the presence of the Lord God, all caps. For the day of the Lord is at hand. Okay? All of us going to face the day of the Lord. He said, the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests. What's the sacrifice? Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. And he's going to be sending out invitations. He hath bid his guests. Okay? Everybody is not getting an invitation. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. Now, we're not talking about clothes too tight, clothes too loose, or clothes too revealing, or clothes. We're not talking about that. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about that. He's saying you need to come to the Lord clothed in his righteousness. Okay? Nothing but the blood of Jesus will cover up sin, because a holy God cannot look upon sin. And we need to understand that. And even when we sin, the Word of God says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And somebody says, well, how do I get this righteousness? Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. I know I'm covering a lot of scripture, but I'm just going to read it. He says, for he hath made him to be sin for us. That's what God did. Because we couldn't be sin for ourselves. He made God to be sin for us who what? Who knew no sin. Why did he do that? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Okay? God died for us. He didn't die for himself. He didn't die because he sinned. He was sinless. Even the thief on the cross knew that. He said, listen, this man has done nothing wrong. Oh, you need to come to that understanding that we serve a holy God who has done nothing wrong. He didn't die because he was a sinner. He died because we were sinners. And he said unto him, friend, how did comest thou into this wedding party? And he was speechless. You know why he was speechless? He had no excuse. He was without excuse. He could not plead ignorance. He was without excuse. And so will everyone in here be, will be. And I'm going to see to that. It is important that we understand why Christ died. And it's important for us to understand that we cannot stand before a holy God in our ignorance and claim ignorance. Can't. We can't. The light of God is shining upon every man. Every man. Watch this. Verse 13, I'm moving. He was speechless. That just sticks to me. He was speechless. You ever bust your kids? Ain't got nothing to say. What are you doing? Why are you in my room? Why that teacher call here today? I can go on and on. And they were speechless. And then said the king to the servants. See, servants got another job to do. This ain't a picture of purgatory. I know some of y'all went to Catholic schools and y'all may believe in purgatory. The Bible don't teach purgatory. Don't believe everything they teach you. Get the meat, throw away the bone. He said unto the king, bind him hand and foot. It's hard to work your way out of anything when you bound hand and foot. Why did they have to bind him hand and foot? Because Jesus did not want this man to ever come back. Okay? And then cast him out into outer darkness. That word cast, you know, some of you guys that like to fish, that means, you give a young kid a fishing pole, they're going to put the biggest weight on it. And they want to see, it becomes a tournament who can cast the farthest. And it says, casting him out into outer darkness. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. You know what that weeping and gnashing is going to be? All those that are in hell that had opportunities to come to the party. They had an opportunity to come to the party. But they made light of it. And they would not come. And I guess that's the question for anybody in here today that really don't know the Lord. Even though you can come to church and you can be a member of this church and not know the Lord. Are you making light? Are you making light of what Jesus has done for you? The fact that He died on Calvary's cross. Would you be willing to go to the party? I had a lady ask me at work, she said, did you go to the Earth, Wind, and Fire concert? Yes, she did. She asked me that. And I said, no, did your pastor go? That's interesting. Let's close. I thought we'd see the early days close. Look at this verse. We're talking about being clothed in God's righteousness. There's a scripture that gives us that invitation in Hebrews chapter 12. And we flipped a little bit today. We want to get in. I want to see all y'all there. We ought to be able to relate to this parable real well, because we like to party and eating and celebrating all that stuff. Jesus knew that these people did that too. Look at Hebrews 12 and 14. This is our ticket. Matthew 5:8 said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see the Lord. But Hebrews says a little more. And I think it speaks to where we're at as a people. God is building the foundation of this church. He's redoing it. And we're going to go out and God's going to send a whole lot of different folks here. Different backgrounds, different issues and concerns. And God is looking for people that realize that they were in the pits of hell. We talk about the Israelites and how they were in Egypt all them years as almost unwanted and almost criminals to the people of Pharaoh's people. Hebrews 12:14 says this. Follow peace with all men. Let's think about that for a minute. Follow peace with all men. and holiness. And holiness. Without which no man shall see the Lord. What the apostle was saying, without a holy life, no one can expect to have fellowship with a holy God. And I guess the question as I close is, do we want to go to the party? We have the invitation in our hand. We know Jesus Christ and we know what He done. We talk about it enough here. He died on Calvary's cross so that we would not be lost. But we still have to take that step and say, I want to be a part of God's family. And there's a difference being part of God's family and God's church. I want to be a part of God's family. See, we often make invitations so you can be a part of this church. It's good to have a church family and a church home, but it's better to be a part of God's family. To be a part of God's family. And I guess that's the invitation today. Do you want to be a part of God's family? You can't come on your own terms. Paul gave the best illustration of that. He was a world-renowned man. He was smart. He was wealthy. He was famous. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, and he said, all my righteousness is as filthy rags. And like I said on Wednesday, those weren't the rags that you wash your car with. Those were filthy rags. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the parable. Father God, we hope and pray that if any of us in here today is making light of Your word, making light of what Jesus done on Calvary's cross, making light of the price You paid, for You say in Your word that You so loved the world that You gave Your only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him shall not perish. Whosoever would come into the party, come into the celebration, and celebrate with God. Father God, like You said in Your word, we bid those that are lost. And we send out an invitation today. And I'm sure churches all over this country are sending out invitations to come to the party. Don't be caught without the wedding garment on. Don't be speechless. We ought to have something to say when we step into heaven. If it's only hallelujah, thank You, Jesus. Thank You for dying on the cross. Thank You for saving my lost soul. Thank You for quickening me when I was dead in my trespasses and sin. When I was hellbound and lost, You saved me. And now I get to spend all eternity, not only with You, but all those others that You saved, that You delivered. Father, we pray right now for a lost soul that know they lost. Know if they would die today, they would be spending all eternity in hell. Father God, what an awful predicament. But Father God, unless You quicken a soul, unless You touch a heart, that person's going to die in hell. So we ask right now, Father God, that You would just move on this church. And that when the invitation goes out, that person would raise their hand and say, I need an invitation. I want to get in this party. 16 murders. Countless folks dying every day. Cancer. Kidney failure. Heart disease. Dementia. strokes. Folks are leaving here on motorcycles, airplanes, cars. The Word of God says today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for hearts and minds that have received the word. But the invitation goes out. If you're here today and you have not an invitation, all you have to do is ask Jesus. Jesus, I want to be a part of your family. I want to be invited to this great wedding feast. I know it's going to be the greatest party ever given. And I want to be there. And now when I get there, Father God, I want to have on the right garment. I want to be robed in your righteousness. I want to be cleansed by your blood. Touch me, Lord. Father God, we know that if you don't touch them, they won't come. So, Father God, we ask that you would just bless someone today with your presence. The doors of the church are open.